Hannah Weston from Connection Training. I'm so happy to have you here. How are you today?
Good, thank you. And as always, it's great to be here chatting horses with you.
It's going to be a little discussion between us today about nose target in particular. But before that, how is the new year? It's only the second day of the new year, but do you have big plans for this year or...?
Well, I always have big plans in the new year. I love a new year for that new opportunity. But spent the past kind of year and a half really getting settled here in France. There's been a lot more to do for that than I anticipated. But we're all settled and ready to go now. So, yeah, looking forward to getting much more consistent time with my horses and want to create lots for the business as well. So
that's great. And, yeah, you also have... Three donkeys to train. Are you having plans for them as well?
Yeah, they're definitely second on the list because training seven on top of working and everything is sometimes tricky to fit in. But I mean, now as soon as I get the training stuff out, the three of them are like, yay, train me too. You know how it is. And I'd like to, they still need more handling training really, because again that hasn't been consistent. I can do things like trim their hooves and you know, all the basic things that they need now, but they're desperate to go exploring. So I need to get them trained with head collars and leading and going out and about, because when they cross the road to go in and out of the shelter, they often stop and look longingly down.
All right. No, for you guys who don't know, I was down at Hannah's this autumn, which month? September?
No, November? October?
November? Oh,
I don't remember.
Great. Well, we are the same in that regards, you hear. But we had a great time and I was loving to say hi to both our horses and the donkeys, of course. So now it was like a donkey focus here. But we're going to talk foundation behavior. So we're going to talk a specific foundation behavior today, namely nose target and how we work with nose targeting when it grows in our training and in our teaching with the horses. So I don't know, I figure you go first here. How do you define a nose target and how does it look when you can use it as a foundation?
Yeah, I think so it's one of the behaviors that I use right at the beginning when I'm teaching connection training and we're introducing horses to learning with positive reinforcement. So I tend to get them standing and walking quietly and happily first, and then the targeting, nose targeting tends to be the behavior that I'll teach after that. So kind of once they know it from an early stage, so it's usually pretty strong for horses, and it's also something that comes very naturally to them to explore things with their nose. And so usually always before we start using it for, you know, movement-based things, then they've got some kind of understanding of it. And then it splits pretty quickly for me between two types of targeting. One is moving towards a target or following a target, and the other one is actually making contact with the target. And I know you said nose targeting, but also you can target different parts of the head and things. So, and also following, I don't know if you count that as nose targeting, but the whole, they kind of work together. And so I split them quite early on into two distinct behaviors between moving towards and actually touching a target, which I think you do as well, don't you?
Yes, definitely. And I think that is so very useful for the horse also. And I think I am nowadays, I must say, probably started with touching, well, I say freeze target when you're actually touching and holding contact with the target. I use that type a lot, but I always start with the one on the distance, you know, so they have sort of like aiming for the target more than actually touching it, because it's so much less, you know, when the horse try to catch up with the target, often when they have starting with a lot of touching it, they tend to like, oh, I need to touch it. And so I usually start with teaching the one on the distance first.
I think it's really important to understand that they're two separate behaviors, because a lot of people teach nose targeting and then ask the horse to follow the nose target, and then the horse is trying to touch it and they're moving it, and very quickly the frustration escalates. But separating them and thinking, okay, these are two different behaviors, use two different targets, especially at the beginning, and train them both in very small steps at the with different cues. So
yeah, and if I were to put one more reinforcement history on one, it would totally be the distance target, because it's so much easier for both the horse and the humans, you know, when they are not exactly balanced, neither the horse nor the humans, the target can sort of put the horse out of balance, and then we can see a reaction to that as well. So yeah, totally. And as you do, of course, I mean, the shin target, that's very much a behavior you taught me, and I have developed it a little bit also with the side target that I use, but totally the shin target is something I learned from Hannah in the beginning, and something I use very heavily when the foundation is set. I tend to put a lot of time into foundation before messing about with the precision targets, I guess you can say that. Yeah, but I guess that's the same for you too.
Yeah, definitely. And I think when with all of it, you want it to be the thing is, when you're using targets for kind of changing posture or using them in movement, you want to bring in some precision, but it's difficult for the horse to learn, and it's difficult for you to get things right all the time. So I think more importantly is that the horse is relaxed about the different targets and is relaxed about a little bit of confusion, and the two of you can figure things out together. Because I think sometimes, especially with something like a chin target, we can get it's very easy to be very, very focused on exactly the like one position that you want them in. And then you can either get stuck in that position, or it's easy to get confused if you start to then change it up. So a lot of these, for example, if you're teaching something like a flexion to one side with a target, so they're turning the head and neck just to touch the target to one side, at halt, that's fine. You might be very particular about the kind of bend and where you want the horse, but then you want to start to ask them to bend in a movement, for bending on a circle, for moving into lateral exercises, whatever you want. If you've only focused on precision and not worked a little bit on that just being kind of easy and relaxed, and that your horse is happy with a bit of confusion, when you put that into movement, it can be really difficult to, like, suddenly the tension can come up. So yeah, it's a tricky balance, that one, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's also a pedagogical difficulties here because it's so much easier to observe the horse when we are standing in halt, and it's like you can really get that high precision, but then in movement so much stuff is happening, the horse is moving, and I mean the horse maybe is not in balance, and it's really hard to be precise in the moment. So I totally agree there. And also, I mean, throw back to the distance target here, because if we have that to fall back on, I think we set ourselves a bit better up for success to actually have a bit confusion, because okay, that this is still a reinforced behavior, it's okay to not touch precision touch all the time. And I think especially with the shin target, and what is a shin target, well, the shin, I mean, do you have a really precise spot? Because I think you don't. But it's more a movement than an actual shin target. Depends, of course, if you want to teach it for, I mean, vet exam or something like that. Yeah, maybe then you want the horse to rest in your hand or something. But for dressage purposes or gymnastical purposes, like we're talking about now, it's more a movement we teach. And that movement is very variable depending on the needs for the day, so to speak, which make it even more complex, I think.
Yeah, you're right, actually. So maybe just people listening, I'll just try and explain what I do in that situation. Yes. And you can explain what you do, because this is a lot easier to demonstrate than explain. But so basically with a chin target. You're asking the horse to put their chin in your hand or to touch a target that you're holding. And usually with the chin target, you're asking the horse to bring their head up and back into kind of more on the bit kind of dressage type frame. There's other things that go on in the body as well, but for now we're just going to focus on the chin target. I've done it both ways, where I really wait for the horse to put their chin in my hand, and that's very, very clear. This is the position that you're going to. And I've taught it where I've got a cue and kind of just hold my hand, you know, a bit behind their jaw.
Yeah.
Or the target. I use both. And have a voice cue on that, so that they're just kind of thinking about bringing their head up and their chin back in a little bit. And like you say, it's not to a specific point. It's just a movement towards. And that's the same that I do with flexions and things as well. So, yeah, is that kind of what you do, or how do you use it in different ways?
No, and I think we are super similar there for many obvious reasons too. But I think also what I tend to do when I'm teaching, focusing on that top line, that we actually to prioritize certain elements of what's happening in the horse's body. A long top line in front of the vertical all the time, even if in the beginning they can be like figure it out really quickly and like to do it. So it can be pretty hasty in the beginning. But totally also engaging the thoracic sling. I'm sort of looking for some shoulder engagement too. So now there's nuances to it, but also I think that's what makes it maybe hard to talk a little bit about, because it's easy to see when it's very, very, very good, but it's hard to see when it's on the right way because the nuances are so small, which makes it even more complex. And I do not think it's a target one should start with like immediately either, without having that balancing tool that we talked about. But it's a very, very useful target. And like you do, to transfer it to a different cue, I do that kind of early also, so I can use it without having that precision touch point, because then it's more like a general movement, I would say. I don't know how this transfers into podcast mode, but let's see.
Well, I think it's interesting. So it was really split between kind of exercises at halt, I would say, where you can use a target to really place the head in a specific position. And I think there's a huge benefit in that, because you can just encourage the horse to play with different positions. So you can get them to stretch their nose out, their head up, their head down, to the left, to the right, and then back it and back and in, like we were talking about with the chin target. And you can see where your horse is stiffer, more flexible, what they find easier. And you can be very precise about that. But then when it actually comes to teaching cues that we want to use in movement, that we want to combine with other behaviors on the ground and in the saddle, then actually what we're saying is you want the horse to understand the
general idea,
but not to be super specific about it.
I totally agree. And also when we are using these kind of tools, because I do that all the time, also the cavesson target, if we like call a cavesson target where a horse docks into your hand where the cavesson would sit, if you use the cavesson tack, then
so your hand on the front of their nose.
Yeah, exactly, thanks. Where you work with the flexion at the pole and the bending in halt. Well, since I do work so much in halt, that is of course an important behavior, but to let go of the precision, I think that's very challenging, to let go of precision like that, because we're taught to look so much for precision aspects also, but to really, as you said earlier, to focus on the relaxation and really flow with the movement, stuff like that. I mean, now we sort of got stuck with the shin target. What else do you use the nose target for?
So do also use the target for forward movement, getting them to move towards. And also, and that you really got to make sure that's a follow cue, because otherwise the frustration with that can go up pretty quickly. But I've also used that, for example, with Freckles. When he was young, like many young horses in trot, he had a tendency to go head high and hollow at the beginning. So I used a target to help on the lunge or around the round pen to encourage him to stretch down and forwards to it. That was very effective. With Rowan, my little rescue pony that I've got, the trot was really, really difficult for her, very emotional. And as soon as she went into trot, she would start throwing her head around. I mean, to the point that she would lose her balance. And the target was really helpful, giving her something to focus on to help soften and change that. And I use it for directions as well in front of them. So I do teach lunging using a target and with a line and at liberty. I teach changes of direction on the lunge using a target. So they follow it in one direction and then I bring it towards me and back up, swap the hand. And so we do kind of figures of eights. And then I use it a lot for lateral flexions as well. So at halt and then also to ask for bend, to ask them to bend to one side on a circle or in lateral movement, and then also to transfer that cue to the rein as well. And I'd say that's probably my head target repertoire that I use most. Is there anything else that you use in addition to that?
Yeah, well, yes. Well, of course, I do that too. And to teach the concept of following a circle on a certain distance, like with the lunging, that, I mean, it's super useful with a longer target to really establish that you are working well. Short protected contact can do that too, but it's very useful to do it with a target as well, I think. But apart from that, maybe more the liberty work. And since I work so much from the front position where I walk in front of the horse and I am backing the horse facing me, this is often where I start with many horses, and that is very specific position for me, I think. And then I use very much the side target, that I call it, that the horse docks in on the side of my hand. And use it for lateral flexion, of course, but also use it to teach the head position when I'm starting to do, which I also do very early with the shoulder in and the haunches in, to not have that part where the horse is very much flexed to the outside. So I don't have to clean that part when I start from this position, which I think is super useful. And the Cavesson target, I must say that it's also a very useful target, but it's kind of restrictive. So I do wait with that for a long time. We can, of course.
You mean horses can find it.
Yeah. And especially if we use it when we are back from the front position, when I'm backing, I'm already in the way of the horse's behavior, so to speak. So I like to keep that for later, and that's often why I start with the side target instead, I think. And I mean, yeah, some of my students have a muscle target more than a nose target. So the horse targets stuff with their muscle, which I do too when I feed horses. That's totally a food target, but they do it without food. I don't use the target myself without food, but I see uses for it, but it's not something I do in my own trainings, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
No, I was going to say, how much do you use an actual target versus just your hand?
Depends on the horse. A horse like my Icy Frody that didn't want to be close to people, I use still a target, and I did for a very long time a handheld target to create more distance between him and me, just because he didn't want to be near people, just that he could, you know, like protected contact and give the horse like a sense of, I'm safe, human's not going to do anything. Sort of with that in mind, to like, hey, as long distance as you need, but I still need you to, I mean, what did we do? I think walking on a circle, nothing like too specific, but I could help him very much with giving him a clear direction point of telling him, okay, I want you to be here. And, still give him the safety of not working too close to me. Yeah. And that's also, of course, you know, the same principle with when we teach cue priorities. Can you touch the target, and can I ask you to halt at the same time, and can you still touch the target while you make a halt? I think that's brilliant also with the handheld target, because then you sort of have a bit of clarity from the object, the target object, and then you can add your, I don't know, hand cues, verbal cues on top of it. So I think that's kind of good with the targets too, but yeah.
Yeah, so let's talk about combining targeting with other cues then to create different movements.
Well, yeah, lateral exercises is for me like the number one place I probably go to, and I know you do too. Well, I mean, it's such an easy way to start a shoulder in. I mean, everyone can do a shoulder in on their first lesson should they want to, you know, because it's such an easy behavior. But for teaching the, also when horses fall on their forehand, to teach a specific head position, like you said, with Freckles and both Freckles and Rowan, I mean, that is, of course, beyond useful because it's so clear for the horse. But also in the haunches in, where the hind end is coming towards us, to really have it built in the beginning with the flexion is something I do a lot. But give me your input on this.
Okay, so yeah. One example where I use it a lot in combination, this is probably one of the first places that I use it in combination with other cues, is on a circle.
Yeah.
So I teach that actually kind of two different types of nose targeting that I use in combination with a shoulder over cue. And actually, when I teach the shoulders over, I use a nose target to teach them the shoulders over. So actually, all of this is built from nose target. So the first thing I would do is make sure that the horse is happy going forwards and going forwards around me, but I'm not worried about them, how they're moving, yeah, whether they're sitting. So that's just following a target straight out in front of them. And then I'll teach lateral flexions at halt. So they're bending towards a target and they are actually touching the target at the beginning. And then I switch it from a real target to a hand target. And I reward them just for moving towards the hand target. So they get the idea of bending too. And then another behavior I teach is moving the shoulders over, because one of the biggest problems that I find on a circle is that if you ask the horse to bend towards you when you're walking on a circle with them, they tend to fall in on top of you rather than bend. So I teach them to move their shoulders over by using a handheld target, quite a long one, under their neck so that they're stepping away from me to touch the target. And then I transfer that to a cue where I put my hand on their shoulder or hold my hand out to their shoulder, and I have a verbal cue for that as well. So yeah, when I then put my hand towards their shoulder, they learn to step out. And once, so you teach it with the target, and then as they get the idea, you fade the target out until they're moving over from stepping over just from your hand on their shoulder. So then when I want the bend from walking with them, I'll then use one hand up and out to the side, asking them to bend their nose towards that hand target, and the other hand towards their shoulder, which asks them to keep the shoulders out and not just fall in. And then they start to bend and you can reward that. So that's an example where the whole behavior kind of gets built from three different types of nose targeting and then combined.
Very good. Very good example. I think, I mean, of course I teach this movement, but I teach the shoulder over with mats instead. But then we do the same. So of course, also the end cue, I think, is very much the same, but the role there is via mats for me. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and mats are just a different type of target.
Yes, for sure. For sure. But I often find it's so easy to make such a small circle with the nose target and sort of put the horse on the outside shoulder if you're not careful about it, which, I mean, is sort of the byproduct of too much bend, but still. And I mean, I'm just a mat lover too, so for me, yeah.
I think it depends where you're coming from. So yeah. If you're working with someone who has done a lot of dressage, for example, and already has a horse who's quite supple and aware, then that's kind of different to someone who's working with a horse who's never done anything like that. Totally. And they've never done anything. And they're usually really quite stiff and have much more of a tendency to fall on the inside shoulder on top of the person. So yeah, in that sense, I think the priorities change, obviously, depending on the horse, and how you use it is going to depend on your horse, but also your own background. And I think one of the things that we're demonstrating here is that there are so many different ways that you can use it. And also, just coming back to the precision thing, I don't mind at the beginning things like that. because if the horse is just starting out, figuring out how to, and the human actually, how to do a movement, then something like a bend, if it's starting to fall out or it's falling in or they're overbending or whatever, you go, okay, that's fine. We'll just kind of...
Totally on the same page with that. It's just that the situation you're describing, I would rather use it to teach the inside leg under the body. That's why when we already, and I mean, of course, this depends on one side, the horse can fall in and on the other one can be good, you know, but still I use the situation like, oh, falling in a lot, creating too much bend, etc. Well, yeah, good gymnastic can be good gymnastic, but I would focus on the what the inside leg does in that situation and sort of build on that. So we have a little bit of different focus there, but yeah, totally. That's where the precision, the not so precise behavior with the target comes in, because if the target is too precise and the horse tried to follow it no matter what, I get very little information about the horse individual crookedness, and I want and I need that information from the horse. So that's also, at least for me, one point of having it not too precise in the beginning, so I can the horse can help me set up good exercises. So
I love that. That's a great point.
Yeah, that's so much information to be had. So I don't know. We agree on most things, sounds like, but yeah.
I mean, I think we end up at the same place, but there's different paths. And it's interesting because one of the things that I really love about training this way is, there are some, like your body position in relation to the horse and how you move and things. There are some innate internal cues and responses that are going to happen no matter what. But I think when you use positive reinforcement, a lot of the cues are far less set in stone than they are with a lot of other methods. So I really like that it allows everybody to kind of create their own work with what feels natural to them with their own horse. So we might have similar cues that actually influence the horses in different ways because of the ways that we've trained them a little bit. And I often encourage people when I'm teaching to, like, there's definitely, like I say, there are some things that really matter and the horse is just going to respond to a lot, but also then, okay, well, what cue feels natural to you to use in this situation, or where do you see this behavior going in future? Let's think about how we can build that up so it turns into a rein cue or a leg cue or a lunging cue or something else in a different way. But I like that, you can be very individual with it as well.
Yeah, me too. And I think, I mean, in many ways, yeah, for sure. I think the aid, the leg and the rein aids that we have been using from traditional training that been evolving, it's logical in many ways. But if you feel that is a bit restrictive, I mean, you could... For me, it feels like, you can teach a horse anything with positive reinforcement. You don't have to be limited to what... The only thing, like you say, is that you have to make it work in the long run if you want to do specific things, so you're not contradicting yourself. But I agree on that too. And I, if you don't, for example, if you don't want to shape one behavior with tactile cues or stuff like that, if you only want to work with... verbal cues, even if you're sitting on the horse, you're sitting on the horse, so you need to be like a good luggage to carry, but to really focus on just evolving your verbals and stuff, I find that super interesting. Not something I necessarily do myself exclusively, but totally something I find super interesting to see also how the nuances evolve when having that kind of approach.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is just starting globally for people to really explore different ways of...
Now we only sort of focused on the nose target here and what we could do with that. And we also mainly focused on building behaviors close proximity to the riders. I know you use nose target to send the horse away for you and to give your horses a direction, free jumping, stuff like that also. So maybe we should wrap it up and you tell us a little bit about that. And
okay, great. So So using stationary targets, you mean?
Or sending them away from you, which, I mean, I know you jump India also, sending her to targets, stuff like that.
Yeah, so, well, I use them a different way. So I tend to use, and so I use a setup that I called the target square, which is a square of targets. It's a very imaginative name. and I use that at the very beginning to teach horses about rein cues. So this actually kind of gets a little bit into using targets to teach a behavior and then transferring it to a tactile cue, like a rein cue, a leg cue, a hand touching them cue. So they'll walk from target to target. The square is small to begin with, so there's only a few steps between each one. So because the horses know to go to targets and it's highly rewarded, that target like draws them forwards and is like, this is where I want to go. And so I lead them on that, and then I start to add my rein cues in there as well. So to teach them to turn from rein cues, I'm generally walking somewhere between next to their shoulder and next to their saddle area for that. And then that transfers into riding as well. So that's one example where I use targets to teach that. I use it quite a lot in lateral work. So one of the first lateral exercises that I teach is leg yield, because it's nice, simple introduction to horses and humans for going sideways. And I tend to put a stationary target over at the fence that we're moving towards. So we'll come up the three-quarter line and at the beginning just turn the horse and walk to the target. So that target is again giving the horse the direction that we're heading that way. And then we can add in our other cues, like a cue to move sideways and also a nose target to bend towards them. But that stationary target is still kind of drawing them over. So I use targets quite a lot, like in that respect. Yeah. In terms of sending horses to targets, I do it, but I have struggled to get much, apart from Bobby, actually, who was one of my clients' horses. We did some very good sending to targets over jumps in a big target square, actually, around the arena where he planted
the horse. Is that the Tinker?
Yeah.
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 He is very, very lovely and looks very enthusiastic. Yeah.
He was amazing. That was, she broke her arm and couldn't ride him, and he's a horse with a lot of energy. So yeah, she did really good sending him to targets. And then she had a big target square, one in each corner of the arena, and a jump in between. And she could stand in the middle, and the cue was go, and she pointed. And as he approached each target, she would point and say go, and he'd just canter past it. So he could do like go past a target. And then her hands were, I think her cue was both hands up or something, both hands down, I don't remember, and touch. And that's the point who would stop at the target and get a reward. But for a lot of horses, getting energy sending away from you to a target is quite tricky. So I often do stand either on a mat or at a stationary target and then call them to me if I'm wanting to get energy over a jump or something. So yeah, I mean, there are 101 ways that you can use targets to create movement.
And I think going out for a ride when the horse are ready for going out like that, I mean, targets, stationary targets in the using the environment to your benefit is, of course, a brilliant way to use nose target to give the horse the idea that also that the environment is safe and something fun to explore, but also give the horse a very strong direction where to go in space. I think that's one of the favorite ways.
Have you been doing that with Tiny recently?
Yeah, I have. And I mean, he's really good at, well, his baseline as an explorative horse is very high. So, but I mean, that was easy part of the work. And he's happy targeting both the plow markers for the tractors in the winter. Yeah. And the neighbor's garbage cans, stuff like that. It's more work with Frode, I think, but really more helping him with emotional balance. I think the nose target has been huge in that retrospect to help him deal with stuff that he knows how they work in an unfamiliar environment has been very, very helpful in that respect. Also, yeah, now we talked a lot about gymnastic groundwork and the stuff that is fun when the baseline is working, but from that perspective also that the nose target actually can provide emotional balance, not only physical balance, is of course also relevant.
I mean, it's an amazing confidence building despooking tool, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, do you have anything more that you want to say in this interesting subject? Yeah.
No, I think I'm good. What about you?
No, I think when it comes to, now we're talking riding from the ground mainly, but well, I do ride with a handheld target sometimes, but it's not, well, in the beginning of the horse's training, but I often have that cue on my hands that if I taught it from the ground, I already did some kind of cue transfer before I sit on the horse. So it's rare that I actually hold a handheld nose target in my hand. I guess it's the same for you, right?
Yeah, I don't. I much more use stationary targets to help. So by the time I get, a horse is beyond the basics, I don't really use targets all that much ridden. It's more of a combination of body, voice, and like tactile cues. But at the beginning, I'll use targets a lot, but I tend to use stationary targets, and there will be a lot of them at the beginning, and they won't be very far apart, because when you first start with a green horse, I want, like, that's quite a big draw. I tend to use those to help with the direction, things like the target square, also circles of targets, lines of targets, which help to give the horse direction as we continue to transfer onto other cues. Yeah, there's lots of ways to do the same thing.
Yeah, it is. Teaching with a target, I think the improvement of the clarity in my teaching, and also searching for something instead of moving away from something, is such a mind shift in the horse's sense too. And that's why I love it.
I agree, and it's such an easy way to create clarity and to create movement and to change positions, and you can have a lot of fun with it very easily.
Either we wrap it up or maybe go into this, because I do know it's a bit maybe for some people using a handle target, I mean, feels a little bit silly and stuff like that. I don't know. What do you have anything to say to these people?
Yeah.
What a question.
Sorry.
I throw you under the bus now.
Yeah, that's it. Well, I was actually thinking that we could actually go into some of the difficulties of using targets. And I thought, do we want to finish with that? But since you've gone this way, then let's go with it. So, I mean, personally, I don't tend to worry too much about feeling silly. I'm very comfortable with who I am and what I do. Same. And that's fine. I think for people who, I think it's harder, especially if you're trying it at the beginning, and especially if you're on a yard where there are other people around who aren't doing it and don't understand it. So in that case, then I would suggest that you find target that feels a kind of a bit more discreet, because you can get targets that like have big white balls on the end that are quite obvious, but you could easily use one of those crops that's got a little hand on the end, or something that's like, when you're just walking, carrying it with the horse, it's much less obvious, and then you can use the little hand end as the target when you need to. You can use predominantly your hand as a target rather than something that you're holding. That's absolutely fine. And you can use other items that are more commonly found in an arena to use as targets that you're going to. So things like jump wings or jump standards, those blocks, for example, are really great. You can use poles to create kind of different areas and stuff like that. So if you're feeling a bit like, that other people might be judging, then there are ways that you can definitely tone it down so it doesn't look quite so different. And I think at the beginning, one of the problems with targeting is the actual mechanics of doing it makes you feel a bit clumsy. And that's the same with anything new. I mean, even when you were here, whenever it was, Angelica, and you were teaching me your handheld, your stationary hand feeding exercises. Yeah. I mean, it did take me a couple of days not to feel like I took all of my concentration just to feed a horse straight. It was just something new. And that's something that's really normal when you start something new. So I think just kind of accepting that. And again, One of the ways to help feel better about that is just to do it in small sections. Okay, well, I'm going to do targeting for 2 minutes and then I'm going to go off and do something that I know and feel more comfortable with. Treat yourself as if you were a horse and then go back and do a bit more until you feel more comfortable with it and it starts to come together.
Oh, I love this answer. That's very, you covered it all. And I think also to the point of, well, why don't you use your hand as a target? I think also I often see a difference in my students and how they use a hand target because it's much more organic because the hand is always there and you don't get such a target focus on the hand target and often it's more like inviting the horse to a direction. So that's a very good point of using your hand as a target too, even if I probably would start with a handheld target just for clarity reason, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's great.
So then just continuing on the problems with targeting, yeah. What about when horses get a bit grabby about the target, frustrated about the target, you can start to see some signs of tension around it. I'm going to pass that one over to you to address.
Often I think it's also, we sort of a little bit mentioned it in the beginning, if we started with very much touching, the yo-yo touches, it's like touch, not touch, touch, not touch. You already created a loop how the target is going to be touched as well. And that's the idea the horses have. Reteaching it and maybe switching to a very different target. I think a hand target is good in this case for reteaching it. In the beginning, since nose targeting is such a common behavior to introduce horses to positive reinforcement training techniques with, I think we tend to also hold back on the reinforcement. So it's very unclear for the horse, what are we actually working with here? And especially if we want to start with the following for a very long time in the beginning, because that's usually how we, well, my horse can walk. And that can be part of the problem, not breaking it down enough and not keeping the distance and not having a proper place to go to for the horse when the horse is confused. Like what I call pause and you call casual connection time. Yeah. You say that, right? Yeah.
Yeah, just having a break together.
Yeah. And I think that if you have that as a strong foundation to rely on, so the horse actually can, okay, I don't know what to do. Maybe I just like stroll around in the riding arena. She doesn't seem like she knows what she's doing. So maybe I go out on my own here. But I think that is also the perfect exit point for the horse to have. And really something, when my horses use that to me, it's like, huh, I need to change something here. Obviously, I'm not making sense. Also that the rate of reinforcement, if it's too low, that can mean that, okay, the horse doesn't really, it's not clear to the horse what you are reinforcing it. And especially if you're reteaching and you have a lot of history on reinforcing the horse for touching the target and you already have some emotion surrounding that, then you have to up the rate of reinforcement for the other behavior by a lot in the beginning. And that can be very counterintuitive when we come from negative reinforcement, I think. Yeah.
Probably one of the main problems with targeting is that it is a behavior that we tend to teach at the beginning. So the human doesn't have the skills and the awareness. So to teach it.
But I think also, adding in movement early is always good, I think. Yeah,
I agree. And there's lots of things. One of the things, if you do have a horse who is a bit, gets a bit tense about targeting, there are lots of things that you can do to change it and help to soften it. I think one of the most common is when the horse is following a target, you start to see a kind of conflict come up.
Yeah.
And that they want to go forwards to the target, but they don't want to move. And that's often shown. I mean, you get it with horses from both ends of the spectrum, but ones who are not the most forward going, shall we say, they've got to put the effort in to follow it. And so you see that like, oh, okay, fine, I'll go to it. But, I don't really want to move. But you also get it at the other end of the spectrum as well, especially with younger horses or more reactive horses. Yeah. That following a target can be really exciting and they want to kind of chase it and grab it, like bounce. And in all cases, it's just about backing off and finding a way that the horse can be, there's two options actually. With calming them down, I think it's finding a way that the horse can be calm in the presence of that behavior and starting there at whatever level that is. And that, you know, you might need to change the target, change the setting, change the rewards, do one repetition and then go off and do something else, come back and do one repetition, go off and do something else. So it's not getting too intense. And that will be very effective. But the other thing you can do is that there are so many ways to train different behaviors that you can train the behavior in another way while you're also addressing that slowly on the side. So don't feel like if you've got a horse who is showing tension around the target, then it means you can't do any of the exercises we've just been talking about. There are other ways, like Angelica was saying, using mats and things, that you can do those behaviors so you're not in a rush to kind of fix the targeting tension, I would say.
Yeah, and I think also, well, difficulty, I think it's part of the crossover to maybe positive reinforcement. When you come from being a very passive horse and you are like rewarded for being a very passive horse, it can be also like an internal conflict in that direction, that I'm not supposed to do anything and the target is you know what it means, but you're hesitating to really follow through because earlier it led to different consequences than having a food reinforcer, you know. So that's of course also part of the something to think about. Yeah. Have we covered it all? Probably not.
I think so.
Yeah. But it was, I mean, I don't know how long we talked, but it feels like we could actually go on, but we maybe should stop and wrap it up. And
I think we should wrap it up.
Yeah. I'm happy that we had so much to say about Nose Target, and thanks for joining me here.
Yeah, it was really fun. Always happy to talk horses with you.
And I mean, if you want to know more about Hannah, of course, the obvious place to go is CT Club. Did you have the correct address? Yeah.
Go to connectiontraining.com or we're Connection Training on YouTube, Facebook and Instagram.
Hannah and Rachel have literally tons of video material in their training setting. How do you say that? In the club?
Yeah, that is in the CT Club, which is the online membership site where we've got, been building it for 12 years. So there's quite a lot of videos in there now, but you can get support and things as well. So. Yeah, and including from our CT coaches like Angelica, whom you share, you've got material in there as well. So yeah, it's a really great online resource if you want.
It totally is. And I think if you aren't a member, I think the video of the target following Bobby is on your YouTube channel as well, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Free jumping in a target square. That's on the YouTube channel. How to train it is in the CT Club, but you can see some of it on YouTube, some of the steps and him flying around the arena with his fantastic mane and tail.
Well, you see, I had it on in my, I immediately knew which horse you were talking about, so made an impression on me, and maybe it does for you too. So okay, thanks so much for coming over, Hannah. Looking forward to talk with you again.
Thank you very much.